Organized Chaos, presented by ADT. Brilliantly safe.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to Organized Chaos, Week 16 edition. I'm Bart Scott. I'll be joined by Rex Ryan a little bit later. We're going to talk about the Sunday night game that really wasn't much of a matchup, as it was a tale of two teams going in two totally opposite directions. The Washington football team had to have this game in order to win and still have an opportunity to try and get in the postseason. It wasn't to be, and the Dallas Cowboys, after Amari Cooper called this offense out for not being able to put up points, put up over a 50 burger. It's rare that you see teams put up 50 burgers or more in the NFL, in sports in general. And let alone you see that happen against a divisional opponent, you know that that stings a little bit harder. On the other side, the Washington football team, Allen and Payne gets into an altercation on the sideline. It sums up their dysfunctional season that had a lot of ups and downs, a lot more downs than ups. But I tell you what, week 16 did not disappoint. You have to play the games. And some guys are coming up big, some guys are coming out small. Let's dig into week 16. Organized Chaos starts now.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan, defensive guru, and your head has to be spinning with all this trash you've been seeing. I understand COVID is running rampant. But I tell you what, man, it is not a lot of smart football players out there, Rex. What do you say? And first, let's start with the crazy, crazy rematch in Gillette Stadium. I guess Mac Jones is immortal.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say I told you so or I was right again, but a pea shooter doesn't do well late in December and January. As you know, Bart, when it's cold out, that football, it doesn't travel like it does when it's nice and warm out and all that. And if you don't have the big league arm, then it shows up. Well, guess what? It showed up again, didn't it? So to me, it was great. I picked this one. A lot of people were all taking the Patriots and all that. I'm like, no, it's simple. The Bills are a better football team. They are more talented than the New England Patriots. And all they had to do is go out and prove it. And they did. By the way, let's compare the two quarterbacks. One has a bazooka for an arm. One has a pea shooter for an arm. The other one is an absolute man-child as an athlete, and the other one is just a normal guy. So to me, guess what? You got outplayed. Your whole football team got outplayed. The quarterback got outplayed by leaps and bounds. And you know what? The better team won, and man, I was happy as hell to see it. What do you think, Bart?
Well, I'll tell you what, I had been alluding to this, right, saying it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And I felt like the Patriots had a stroke of good luck, right? They had to go against, you know, Baker Mayfield without Chubb and Hunt. They went against other teams. They had a nice little run where Mac Jones could just play within himself, and those teams lost the game opposed to winning, you know. And I thought that they would be exposed. I thought I knew what I was looking at when I looked at that football team, that Bill Belichick understood that he was protecting this kid at all, you know, by all means. He yep. was making sure that he didn't put him out there to be exposed. And we thought that maybe he was going to turn him loose. And sometimes when you turn guys loose, you realize why you had the handcuffs on them. You know, I thought, you know, when you looked at what happened, you know, the other week when they played Indianapolis, they were finally going against teams that were whole and was healthy and had their weapons. Now, I know that, you know, Buffalo didn't have a couple of players, but they had enough. They had Diggs. They had their core, and that was all that they needed. And I thought that was the frustration when you listen to the Bills after the first defeat, because I think they knew that they were the better football team, but because the weather was the ultimate equalizer, they weren't able to show it. So I thought that was the frustration about, you know, not giving Bill Belichick the credit for having a great, you know, game plan. And Bill Belichick said, hey, we didn't even have to reveal our passing game in the first matchup. But I tell you what, they revealed it this time, and it really didn't matter.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I looked at this. You know, remember that reporter from the Buffalo News, this guy named Jerry Sullivan, who's just a negative guy. Like, I mean, I forget what we would call him, Debbie Downer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. He's the Mike Pressing of Buffalo.
Oh, but way worse, you know. And the great thing is, this guy, you know, ticks off. He said, "Are you guys embarrassed?" He's talking to two great competitors. All right. Both those safeties are great competitors. No, yeah. They played like crap. And you know what? So not only were they disrespected by this writer, they were disrespected by the Patriots. The fact they only ran the ball three times in their
only
first
threw the ball. Only threw the ball know, three times, right.
Yeah, only threw the ball three times. And to me, that was total disrespect for him. And they punked him and all that. The head coach felt it. That's why he gave no respect at all. You know, that's why he was ticked and short with the media when they asked about how great a job Belichick did. And then the same thing with the two safeties.
Yeah, Hyde and Porter. And
Poyer. You know, and then all those guys. So it's like, okay, we've heard how good you are. We're gonna prove it to you in 2 weeks or whenever we're gonna play you next. And they did. The conditions couldn't save New England. They had to put the dude out there. If they would have had those conditions again, this guy can't throw it. He can't. Like, here's the problem. He's a smart guy. Throws with anticipation, and you know is clearly a smart quarterback. But he doesn't have the big arm. And what happens when you have to throw the ball down the field to win the game, that was the question I always had about Mac Jones, and he hasn't answered it yet.
Now, I'll tell you what, like, you know, going forward, you look at where the Bills were after that loss, going down there and squeaking one out against, you know, Terrific Tom. Oh, did they lose to Terrific Tom? I'm mistaken. No, they beat the Buccaneers, correct? Or am I tripping?
You know what? No, they got beat.
Yeah, they got beat, but they came back and they played well, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, then coming back and really, you know, righting the wrong, so to speak. When
they
look at
– by Indianapolis, that's a game you're probably thinking of, Bart.
Right, that's right, that's right. So tell me this. Like, where do you stand on the Patriots and going forward? Because I feel like now we kind of got a bit of truth serum, and we're all ready to hang Bill Belichick the Coach of the Year award. Do we need to reconsider that? I understand. Listen, he has his team still set, but it's a possibility that they could, you know, I won't say miss the playoffs. Cause I mean, you know, you talk about 17, they got Jacksonville and they got Miami, but that can be for all the marbles. Cause Miami is playing well. And I think Miami will beat the Saints and edge a little bit closer. You know, what's the scouting report on the Patriots and what's the scouting report on the Bills? Are we ready to say the Bills are a contender that can beat, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, because it seems like they reemerged?
Yeah, I think the Bills, like we said, at one point in the season, they were clearly the favorite in the AFC. And Kansas City wasn't playing well at the time. Buffalo was looking tremendous. So, yeah, we thought they could do it. But now here's what gives them a chance. They have one of the best players in the world as their quarterback. He's the difference maker. He ran the ball for almost 70 yards today. He threw for over 300 yards against a really good Patriot defense. So, to me, he's a difference maker right there. And I'm not so sure he's not playing as well as any of these quarterbacks in the league right now. So, we saw him against Tampa Bay where he had over 400 total yards. Same thing today. Like, he's the true X factor. Their defense has to show up, though. So, I'm not a true believer all the way 100% in with Buffalo, and I'm certainly not in on the Pats. The Pats, to me, are, you know, yeah, they're going to be in the playoffs, and I still think Belichick deserves Coach of the Year because he's done it with a rookie quarterback, and that's hard to do with a rookie quarterback. He's managed them well. You know, up until the last 2 weeks, everybody was telling me how great Mac Jones was the next Tom Brady, and I'm like, besides telling people they're fully, you know what, I was like, we're going to see, because late December and January, when it gets cold, is he going to have the arm talent to make the necessary throws? And we're going to see. So far to me, the answer is no, he doesn't. And we're going to see when he gets to the playoffs if he does. And I think that answer is going to be no also.
I mean, listen, it remains to be seen. You know, Coach of the Year, I mean, you talk about, me and you both know what it's like to try and win with rookie quarterbacks and, you know, how that defense and how that running game has to be. Now, I know the excuse that most Patriot fans are going to say that, hey, they didn't have Stevenson, he's our bell cow. But listen, every team in the NFL is dealing with COVID issues, and, you know, you just have to find a way. Speaking about dealing with COVID issues, but also dealing with injuries, the Baltimore Ravens went in. And, I mean, we give them a fighter's chance because of their culture. but they had no right to be in the game with a team like the Bengals that's, for the most part, healthy. Joe Mixon's back. I mean, Trey Henderson's playing well. But also, you know, Wink Martindale saying that they weren't ready to give, you know, Joe Burrow the yellow jacket. And I thought that, okay, the Bengals won today and we expected them to win. But I thought they didn't win the way that teams in this division win when they have respect for the team. They look like the team that always gets beat, that finally has the opportunity to sweep the series. And I thought they kind of circled the wagons a little bit. And I think that may come back to bite them in the future, because it's not like the Ravens are a rebuilding organization. They're a team that next year is going to get Ronnie Staley back. They're a team that's going to make the necessary improvements. They're going to get both of their corners back. But now they poke the bear to the fact to now I feel like the Ravens will look at the Bengals and make it personal. And all our years between the Pittsburgh Steelers, it was always a level of respect when the game was coming to an end. We knew that they were going to go 4-minute offense and they were going to do it the right way. They weren't going to try and air it out and try and rub our faces in it. I thought maybe the Bengals did that and it may come back to hurt them in the future.
Yeah, no, his comments, Joe Burrow's comments at the end of the game were really telling. And for Don Martindale, I don't understand why he made those comments. Look, Wink's a friend of mine. And I'm from a guy that talks a lot of noise. The difference is we'll back it up. They were out there with nobody. They had 12 healthy bodies on defense. And guys, they just picked up off the bricks. They have no business. They gave them given up 420 yards passing to Joe Burrow the last time they played.
Right.
And four players. Like, this was – I don't know what he was thinking. You know, hell, let me get it out there. I'll look cool or something. Maybe get an interview for a head coaching job. I don't know. You ain't going to get – you'd be lucky to get anything. Like, that was, and I love Don, but that was a huge mistake. And clearly that team was motivated as if they need any more motivation.
Yeah.
But clearly in the way that game ended late in the fourth quarter, they absolutely rubbed the Ravens' nose in it, in particular Don Martindale. They rubbed his nose in it like crazy. And we'll see what happens, because I know one thing about Baltimore – they have a lot of pride, and John Harbaugh is probably the wrong guy to do that to. And you're right. When it comes back, it's like Bengals, okay, you're the same team that gave up 400 yards passing to a journeyman quarterback with the Jets, a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
That white kid.
White. You know, yeah, and exactly.
A Caucasian, and his name's White. But anyway, he just, like, I'm not buying that freaking team. Like, but they beat up a team that's a JV team. This was Baltimore Ravens. This is a JV team, and you had a kid that was quarterback for two
weeks. Yeah, for the Jets, right? So,
and our guy, but
and he threw for 304, and he still threw for 304.
Exactly. And to me, it's like, come on, okay, Joe Burrow, get ready. But I'll say this: could you imagine? Because if he would have done that to the team, first off, we never would have given up 500 yards.
Somebody would have been red dotted. Red dotted too.
Been dotted, and I'll be dang, he would have walked off with a limp, I can assure you. And the fact he didn't, I was disappointed in Baltimore, because when homeboy was back there throwing it all over the place, I'm like, that doesn't fly in Baltimore. So to me, I'm surprised he wasn't taken out. My opinion, because there's some things you do in the game and there's some things you don't. I think Don Martindale crossed the line, and I think Joe Burrow crossed the line.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the thing is, too, when I look at this Bengals team, every time you want to buy into them, much like the San Diego Superchargers, which we'll get to that in a little bit, you know, every time you want to buy into them, they let you down. But listen, I understand that they had a great day. I mean, you talk about T. Higgins, 12 for 194, Chase again, 7 for 125, and even Tyler Boyd, you know, same play, you watched a little, you know, streak pass, the same thing that he sent the Ravens home with a couple of years ago, it was the same pass, you know, to score the touchdown as well. But I do know, when I look at this Bengals team, and they may win the division, and who knows if the Ravens will find a way to get in the tournament. You know, they still could get in the tournament. Who knows, right? You know, Lamar Jackson may come back next week. I know it's going to be tough sledding, but, you know, I can see the Ravens, you know, finding a way to win two games. They've been in, you know, two games the previous games before. They were right there going for two-point conversions with some of the best teams in the game. You talk about Green Bay. Right. You know, they were right there for the 2-point conversion, going for the win like you expect champions to do. But how far do we think these Cincinnati Bengals can go at 9-6? Because it reminds me a lot of the front-running team that we went against that got into the playoffs and lost. And now, listen, Zach Taylor, you're ahead of schedule, right? Nobody expects you to win a division. And listen, a lot of things happen for that to happen. But, you know, he has his team playing at a high level and believing in him. And sometimes belief is all you need. And eventually a reality hits you in the face.
Yeah, no, I don't expect this team to go far, but it is impressive. The fact they swept the Steelers and swept Baltimore this year is an amazing accomplishment. They're clearly going to win the division. So I think it's going to be, good for them, but how far are they going? I don't know about that. Cause look, do they really scare you? I'm still not convinced. I think they're a little too up and down for me to think that they're a serious threat to Kansas City. I'm just not real sure about that. But again, look, they have a lot of weapons. Their defense actually can get some pressure on the quarterback. So that plays a little bit. But I don't think they're going anywhere. And Bart, as far as Baltimore is concerned, remember I said they're going to go from the number one seed to being out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I said it when they lost, and I'll stay by it. And they've lost four games in a row. And I'm telling you, they're going to lose two more. And they have no players. They got no business being in this race. And the only thing that keeps them alive is John Harbaugh and company. And I just don't see it. I think they're running out of gas finally, and they're done.
You know, the crazy part is, you know, this was the year where the tournament was wide open, but because of COVID, because of the injuries, they won't have an opportunity to I think, be there at the end. I mean, next week, I mean, it doesn't get any easier. And I know Stafford struggled today, but they got the Rams, and they finish up with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that they were right there to win with. And I think that loss, those losses by 1 point going forward for two-point conversions, I think it's going to be the difference in them not going. And going from a team that, if healthy, probably would have been the front runner for this tournament. And I'm not saying if healthy, I'm saying if 70% healthy.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably 50% healthy with the personnel that they have. But one thing I know, that Ronnie Stanley's going to come back. Marlon Humphrey's going to come back. I don't know what they're going to do with Peters, but they have to get younger on the defensive line. They have to continue to develop, and they have some tweaking to do. But they're running out of time, Rex. They're running out of time before they have to pay Lamar Jackson and not be able to keep and retain a lot of good players.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, Bart. Are they going to pay Lamar Jackson? That's a question.
I mean, he's been durable, Rex. So, like, he's been durable. I mean, the
putting it out there, Bart. I don't, like, we saw the way Huntley played. Like, is this going to be they're going to have some major decisions. Obviously, I would think they would pay Lamar Jackson, but they haven't paid him so far. I'm not sure. I am not 100% sure sold on it just yet.
Well, I mean, I feel like they can pay Lamar. Both things could be true, right? They can pay Lamar a long-term contract. Will they want to pay him a long-term with how he plays? Now, it hasn't come back to hurt him. He hasn't had a torn ACL. He hasn't did anything like that. You know, he's missed games because his ankle, too. That's understandable. A lot of guys can see that happening. That's not because he's a running back, a quarterback that runs. He got sacked and he got fell on. He wasn't trying to be Superman, anything like that. And then, you know, he had COVID, right? And everybody's missed games because of COVID. Everybody's, you know, that's something that you can't hold against the kid. But when you look at it, you know, Calais Campbell, you take his money away, and you take Brandon Williams' money away, who's making like $13 million. And we understand that that's a fat contract right there for a player that's not, you know, not living up to that. And that's not a knock on him. We all get there. We all get fired. But that's Lamar's money right there with the salary cap going up. They really don't have a lot of other players that they have to pay, because they have a lot of young players. But that is the question. So yeah. I guess I got to ask you this then. If that's how you feel, is Joe Burrow the most solid quarterback in this division now that you want to buy stock in long term?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, the only thing is about Joe Burrow, he's much older than Lamar.
Yeah.
And people don't realize, but he's, what, 2-3 years older than Lamar Jackson. So
yeah, that's why he smoked a cigar after the national championship, because he's already paying into his retirement.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But it is funny to see that. But, yeah, I mean, look, he's clearly better than Baker Mayfield. We already understand that. So Cleveland's going to have a different quarterback, I would assume, at some point. You're going to have Baltimore. The question is, do they keep Lamar Jackson, or do they, for whatever reason, go away from him? It's still a question. I think it's a legitimate question.
Is that a real question? Right.
I think
Huntley is great in spurts. Like, I mean,
I would keep Lamar Jackson and Huntley also, just in case Lamar does go down. But I'm telling you, I don't believe it's a slam dunk just yet, just because of the economics of them. That football team, here's what's going to happen. They're going to lose their corners. They're going to lose, you already mentioned, their two big D tackles. They're going to lose a lot of things. And for a team that you think is going to compete next year, they don't want to start over. And I mean, look, I get it. I'm saying they're going to definitely play, you know, pay this man next year, you know, put him on, they're going to tag him, he's going to play. But a long-term deal, I'm not so sure they do it just yet. I think they're going to wait. I think the same way Cleveland's waiting, I think Baltimore may wait also.
Yeah, man. I know this is a podcast, and this can't become Raven Ness or, but, you know, EdgarAllenPoe.com, you know, exclusive. But, man, that is a lot that you're saying right there. The difference between Lamar and Baker Mayfield is that Lamar Jackson has been the MVP of his league, and he was carrying this team this entire year until he couldn't.
No, Art, I'm not saying he isn't. I'm not. I just think that, number one, what do they think of Huntley? And the other thing is the economics of their football team. I think it's real. Now, look, Baker Mayfield can't hold Lamar's jockstrap. We understand that.
Okay. All right. I tell you, talk about, you know, we understand his lofty expectations, and Lamar Jackson promised the Super Bowl when he was drafted, you know, in the later first round, and Deion put that mic in his face. He said, "You're going to get a Super Bowl out of me." We've been waiting, but because he hasn't played at a high level. He just hasn't played at a high enough level to be better than Mahomes and to get him to at least the AFC championship. But you talk about expectations. I mean, the expectations can't be higher than the Los Angeles Rams, who went all in, and they mortgaged their future for the present for Matthew Stafford. Now, listen, they get the dub. But Matthew Stafford, man, I don't know if Minnesota knows some things about him from playing against him in the division. But three interceptions, man. Come on, son. You supposed to be peaking at this time of the year. And Matthew Stafford is starting to concern me. Listen, I know that he's not an MVP candidate anymore because, you know, I did pick him to be the MVP. But this team can win the division with the Cardinals, you know, sputtering. But are you concerned with Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, I definitely am. Look, they're definitely going to win the division. In my opinion, they're going to win this division. But Stafford, I mean, he's trying to pull – He looks more Carson Wentz than Carson Wentz does now. So, because he's all over the dang place. Some of those interceptions were just absolutely atrocious. So, look, he's got to understand. Here's my main concern about the Rams. Number one, this man has never won a playoff game. I don't care how great he is, what the numbers tell you, all that type of stuff. There's a fact out there. The man has not won a playoff game in at least, 12, 13 years of being a quarterback. Yep. And if you don't think that matters, it absolutely matters. And I'm concerned. If I'm a Ram fan, that's my concern.
Does he get one this year? If you're a betting man, does he get a playoff win? I didn't say win the Super Bowl. Does he get a playoff win? I mean, they won playoff games with Jared Goff, and I forget the backup last year that they won one with. You're telling me that – do you believe that they can get a playoff win with Matthew Stafford?
I think they can, but it's going to be on the back of Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. That's who they're going to have to ride, is that defense. But it ain't going to be easy for sure. But Matthew Stafford needs to understand, look, you're a game manager first. That's what all quarterbacks need to be, a game manager first. Then you come out and try to do some special things. But he's trying out there. He's winging balls, no-looking passes and all that type of stuff. Man, forget about being on SportsCenter. Let's manage the game first and get the wins. And they did. Somehow, it's hard to win games when your quarterback throws three picks, but they did it.
Now, tell me this, though, right? We all remember, I remember when Rod Woodson got his ACLs tore by Barry Sanders, right?
Yep.
And he was out the entire year, and he came back for the Super Bowl. If I had to ask you right now, the player that will have the most impact, and I probably kind of know where you're going with this, where you're going to go with this, the player that will have the most impact on their team potentially winning the Super Bowl, Derrick Henry, Cam Akers, who we've heard
right.
could come back, Cam Akers, or J.J. Watt? Which guy are you putting your money on?
You already know how I feel. Derrick Henry, to me, is that man. He's the guy that can take the Tennessee Titans from being a, looks like a, you know, in and out immediately to a team that can go and win the whole dang thing, because he is that big of a difference, not just in the running game, but in the play action game. And Ryan Tannehill becomes a heck of a quarterback instead of just being average Joe, which is what he is when Derrick Henry's not in there. So I'm telling you, Bart, you know how I feel about Derrick Henry. I just think, to me, he's that X factor. And if he's healthy and he comes back with fresh legs, oh my goodness, watch out.
I tell you what, Rex, we've been a little bit long-winded. I know that Raven segment went a little longer than we expect, but we're passionate about our Ravens, and it's tough to see them go out this way. And it's not because they aren't a good football team. It's just that they're running out of capable bodies, man. Let's take a break and let's come back and talk about Tom Terrific, which he deserves his own intro.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos, round two. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. And Rex, Tom Terrific looked terrific. But I love this funny narrative that, oh, Tom Brady was terrific with all his three top offensive targets. Are you kidding me? He got a new one. He got Antonio Brown back. He has Gronk. He has, oh, come on. What are we talking about? Are we really having a pity party about Tom and his weapons? Oh, I'm sorry. He has three elite receivers instead of five. Come on, man. What are we talking about? And I tell you what, man, all those damn receivers, all those damn corners that the Panthers traded for did nothing. I mean, I would want a rebate back on my money for going out and getting Gilmore. You got J.C. Horn. You got C.J. Henderson. And all of them add up to a pile of nickels. You know, you would expect more from that, from those weapons, man. I'm telling you, man, Matt Rhule is the next college coach that is walking the green mile. If he don't figure this out in short order next year, I don't care how much money he getting paid. It may be time for him to walk the plank. Another one bites the dust.
Yep, another college coach strikes again. How you can take a talented football team and turn it into garbage. That's what it looks like. Because this team right here, look at some of the decisions this organization's made. The Cam Newton one's the classic. It's giving $10 million guaranteed when nobody else wanted him. He's playing like a guy that has no business playing in the National Football League again. And, I mean, and they're rotating quarterbacks. They put – Cam Newton's been awful, and then they put Sam Darnold in, who's just as bad. Like, what are we doing here? And it just looks so bad. And this guy – he's coaching like he's got a 7-year contract and it could care less. What's he waiting on, the next recruiting class? Like, give me a break. Now, all that talk about how they're going to trade for another real quarterback and all that, is it really going to help? I mean, the way this team looks to me, I don't know. When you mentioned this defense, they are talented, absolutely talented. But they, you know, they're overrated as hell. They came back. I know they put up decent numbers. They started the season off 3-0 and everybody's, oh, man, Matt Rhule, what a job this guy's done. Well, how's that job look now? This is an NFL schedule, so it doesn't look too damn good to me. But let's give props to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady going out and kicking butt. What a shock. Antonio Brown, this is why you
can't. No, can I stop you there? What's the conversation you have with Antonio Brown? Because he came in and, listen, he showed up and showed out. And I understand you're mad at him, but is this one of those things that you say, you know what, production – breeze, tolerance.
Absolutely.
But going forward, Rex, if you're the head coach, knowing what he's done, do you keep him on his team? Do you think that you have the guy on the roster that's capable of being able to give you the productivity that he gives you and have that connection with Tom Brady outside of Wes Welker? Edelman. And Edelman. Yeah. I don't know if I've seen Tom Brady have chemistry in such short order with any other quarter receiver. I think he's four on Tom Brady's all-time list as far as being in sync, sharing one mind and seeing the field the same way. Antonio Brown and Tom Brady, if they stay together, could win a couple more Super Bowls.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Bruce Arians, has got to swallow his pride a little bit, which he did. And he said, hey, look, man, time, you know, things are different. You know, I never knew Antonio Brown. I never had, you know, I never watched him in practice. I never watched him, all that type of stuff. And so now he's like, yeah, we're going to embrace him. The reason he's going to embrace him is because he is that guy that can help you win a Super Bowl. He did that last year for you. He can do it again this year. And especially with Godwin out, they need Antonio Brown. Now, moving forward next year, it's always easy to let a guy go. It could be a huge mistake, but you got to sit back and say, look, these, and here's what I want the fans to know. The NFL locker room is not the Boy Scouts of America. Okay. I'm just telling you, it ain't the Boy Scouts of America. You got, your team has to have a little lead in their pencil. All right. Every one of those damn guys. All right. Some more than other. But you know, so this thing, you know, I thought it was wrong when he came out publicly and said, you know, and that's what Bruce does. He'll come out and say some comment and then, oh shoot, you know, cause it sounds good at the time. And then when he goes back and looks at it, he looks like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But, you know, I mean, look, Bruce is along for the ride. All right. We all get it. This is Tom Brady's football team. He's along for the ride and take the rings and all that. And not saying I disrespect him. I think it's great because he gave Tom Brady that type of freedom to take the team over. That kind of ownership. Smart. A lot of coaches don't do it. But make no mistake by it. He ain't worried about Antonio Brown screwing up again. All right. Why? He's like, hey, whatever. I mean, you know, he can play. That's one thing he knows for sure. So, look, you know, quit trying to be a hard ass. Because if you were, this guy would be gone. All right. Like every other team that ever wanted him. Tom Brady has that connection with him, and that's where it's going to stay. And they're going to try to keep him on the reservation as long as they possibly can.
I mean, I have no facts to back this up, but I just feel that next year will be Brady's last run. And I think that he's going to want to go out with Antonio Brown, whether you love him or hate him, you just have to deal with it. Right. And that's what it is. But you have a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl this year, and you have a legitimate chance, you know, to win next year, because this team is so talented, so deep. Most players are under contract for multiple years. And Antonio Brown understands that nobody's going to put up with his shenanigans, or he's not going to have a bigger ally than Tom Brady to make sure that he's going to be able to stay on the football field. You know, it was a struggle for him. He thought he was unhappy with his contract this year, but if he went out on open market, nobody's going to put up with him because, you know, he's not the guy who puts other teams over the top. He's the guy that puts the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the top. And that's the one thing that's the one leverage that he has, is that he puts them over the top. And with him intact with Gronk, no matter what the other weapons around, Evans or Godwin or Scotty Miller, they have a legitimate chance to be special. So, I mean, it remains to be seen if they're going to be the favorite. I think right now Green Bay is playing at such a high level. You know, their defense is starting to get healthy. But Tampa Bay is right there. I mean, I'm talking about period. You know, I think it's just Green Bay and Tampa Bay are the cream of the crop. And could they get upset? Of course they could. You know, but the thing is, they're not going to face that Saints defense in the playoffs.
Well, they might if the Saints could squeak in there, which I don't know if they can. But you're right, Bart. I mean, this is the Saints are a bad matchup for Tampa. We get that. And they showed it four straight regular season games. But yeah, the rest of the teams don't play defense the way they do. They don't have the personnel the Saints have. So I think it's, you're right. Eventually we're going to have that Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers matchup again in the NFC Championship. It looks that way to me anyway.
I tell you what, it's a few things in my short, I can't say my very short life, cause I'm starting to get up there in age, in my life, that I understand that is true. That, you know, death is imminent, that I have to pay my taxes. Popeyes is going to always mess up your order. And it's in the Los Angeles Chargers will always let you down when you believe in them.
Well, you know, a few years ago, this team was really good. And even 2 years ago, they won like four games in a row to close it out. They had the rookie of the year quarterback. That's what the team still is. But I've never seen 1 ounce of improvement from their defense. And this is the thing that's concerning to me. the head coach there with that small hat that he wears, he's the guy that needs to step his game up. If you're the head football coach and you're supposed to have a certain kind of defensive acumen, it needs to show up. And their team stinks. They get run on by everybody. And I don't want to hear, well, Joey Bosa, half the league's missing their guys.
Yes.
Okay. Like, give me a break.
They need to River.
How the hell you get beat by Houston? Like, give me a break here. So they struggle stopping a run, and then their pass defense is only so-so. So Herbert can only carry this team so far. But the head coach is the guy that needs to step up and get that side of the ball, that defensive side of the ball. It's supposed to be his expertise, albeit he is coaching for, what, 3 years in the league, gets a head coaching job. So let's see it. You know, it's time for that guy to, instead of being this forward thinker, go for it on every fourth down, backed up, all that type of stuff. All right, quit being a dumb butt at the time and don't do that. Try to win the traditional way of football. And one of it is by, you know, you being an expert, let's get the defense fixed, because you got a long ass way to go to fix their defense.
I mean, you can attribute two losses to him. I mean, not being able to stop the Houston Texans and going for it on fourth down like four times last week against Kansas City.
Yep.
All this stuff runs together to me. But I mean, you talk about, listen, common sense ain't always common, Rex, and we understand that. And a lot of people can fake it till they make it, and they walk around and we give them these titles about being defensive experts. Because, you know, because we say it, if you say something enough, I've learned in recent politics, I've learned if you say something enough times, people will start to believe you. And if you say it enough, you'll start to believe it yourself. But to give up 150 yards down there to Rex Burkhead, I mean, come on, that is Rex Burkhead. I mean, are we kidding me? Rex Burkhead, 6.8 yards a carry. Is that what we're doing now? Like, if that's the reason we don't go to the postseason, because Rex Burkhead, we couldn't stop him. I'll tell you what, if I'm Houston, we got something here, man. We got Davis Mills. You can make the argument that he's the second best rookie quarterback this year. I mean,
you can definitely make that statement that he's has been, you know, the second most productive for sure. And maybe the most productive, like these rookie quarterbacks outside of Mac Jones. I mean, literally, they've all struggled. And let's see what happens. I think at the end of the day, a year, 2 years from now, that kid in Jacksonville is going to be legit. I think that, you know, there are going to be several guys that are better than him, in my opinion. However, I don't disagree with you. Right now, he's playing better than the rest of them.
And the reason why I say that is because he's put in the same tough situation as, you know, Lawrence and Wilson, right? You know, Mac Jones is inherited a great situation, but he's in the same situation where, like, you know, you got a franchise quarterback that they're leaving on the bench, and, you know, everything that organization is going through. And we talk about all the time, you know, and I don't want to fill this time up slot that we have about Texan talk, but we talk about unsung heroes and guys that come from nowhere. We know that if he would have stayed in school, he probably would have been the number one pick coming out this year, or he probably would have been a first round draft pick. And maybe the Texans are just a year early on being able to get a first round talent, albeit he didn't get an opportunity to prove it. But that doesn't mean that he's not a first round talent or potentially a franchise quarterback. And if that's the case, and you decide to stay with him because you have a high pick and you are able to turn Deshaun Watson into three first round draft picks, this team ain't half bad. And the future may not be as bleak as we think it is for the Houston Texans if they slipped up and found the franchise quarterback, be it a Kirk Cousins or not. That's good enough to win in this league.
Yeah, I mean, they could flip it in a hurry. When you have that kind of capital, if they're able to pull off that kind of trade, which is what's been rumored out there, then that's going to be outstanding. I saw a thing where Cleveland was talking about trading for Deshaun Watson.
That would be crazy.
And Baker Mayfield with some picks. Why the hell would Houston want Baker Mayfield?
Exactly. They need
a guy with more ability already in their own building. So they're not going to do that trade. They're not stupid.
But I will take some first-round draft picks. I'll take Benintendi. So now I can have, you know, outside of Laremy Tunsil, so I can have another outstanding, you know, I want one of them linemen. I want a Woozie. I want a corner. And I want two first round draft picks.
There you go. I like the way you're thinking, GM Bart.
You know what I'm saying? if I can get some defensive talent and I can protect Mills and have three first round draft picks, oh, come Ooh. On, man. I mean, Baker Mayfield, you can keep that. You can throw Baker Mayfield to Sean Payton. He's used to throwing with guys with piece shooters. You know, when you think about Drew Brees. Now, I'm not going to disrespect the Hall of Famer, but we know that he threw a big ball too.
Yeah, now that's true. Hey, speaking of crazy things, let's talk about the first overall pick.
Oh, man, wow.
What the hell? That, you talk about a pillow fight now. That was brutal to watch. But I watched it. I was pulling for my Jets. And then I'm sitting back going, oh, hell, don't. Like, one of the things, when Mosley dropped the interception, when Trevor Lawrence threw the ball and he dropped the interception right to his hands.
Oh, he's point shaving?
I'm like, that's how good a team player C.J. Mosley is. He knows the Jets don't want to win this game.
Yo, like,
how about the third down? How about the Jags with 12
seconds? Spiked the ball.
Spiking the football.
You could have threw a fade, and that would have acted as a timeout, because if it's incomplete, the clock stops, and you can get to your first play. Like, how do you go to a fourth down play, and, you know, Tavon Austin don't know where to line up, and it's like, what's going on? Like, what are we doing? And this was I didn't agree with. I mean, you talk about this guy, 6'5". He's not as big as Josh Allen, but I'm talking about game on the line. You see a quarterback and you run out of bounds at the 5-yard line and you don't lower your shoulder or take off and get airborne. I don't know how he goes back and looks at those guys in the eyes, man, because he had an opportunity to get airborne or to run. Listen, he's at that point, Rex, he had ran like 25 yards. He had to be at least, if let's say if he's slow, 15, 16 miles an hour. 15, 16 miles an hour about a DB, all that DB can do is pretty much cut him. And if he cuts him at 6'5 from the 5-yard line, he's going to at least at worst fall to the 2-yard line. This dude ran out of bounds. As soon as he ran out of bounds, I knew it was a wrap. I said, they're not going to win this football game. And then spike the ball on third down. How do you not get in your quarterback's head and tell him two plays, the next two plays to have?
Well, no, I agree with you. And that's the thing about where Josh Allen, his competitiveness, he would have hurdled the guy or run right through him. Like, that's who Josh Allen is. This young man right now has been, you know, handled with kid gloves. Like, no way. He's got to go through that. And whether it was at Clemson or wherever, this kid's got to put his head down and go for it. And that's the thing, especially when games on the line. Now, look, this team, they know they're going nowhere. They probably already told the kid, whatever you do, don't take an unnecessary hit. But when a game's on the line, it's got to take over. The competitive juices need to take over, and I agree with you.
You know what I remember when I hear that? I remember him saying how football wasn't, you know, his life. Is when I see stuff like that, I see him looking at quality of life afterwards. I mean, I'll be willing to lose some brain cells to win right there. At that point, I mean, listen, it's not like he's going against a linebacker or a DN. That is a cornerback that you outweigh probably by 20 pounds. And that you're probably 5 inches taller than, because I guarantee you Echols or whoever that was isn't over 6 feet. And you turned it down?
Yeah. And you know, look, we lost plenty of brain cells, you and I. But you
didn't have many to begin with.
This competitive thing, that's it. And when he said those comments, it did put up a bit of a red flag. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Because you want to draft a guy with no parachute.
Yep.
That you either
that's all I got.
We had to make it. I had to make it as a coach. You had to make it as a player because we had nothing else. What else are we going to do? You know, be a truck driver, no offense to a truck driver, but that's probably what I would have done. And I don't think I'm as good. I can't back them damn things up. So to me, it's like, it's all or nothing. You want guys with no parachute, guys that love the game and can't fail in the game. And you're right, Bart. I never thought anything about it. I thought the guy had everything going, but when he made that comment, I kind of flinched a little bit.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that's tough, Shannon, but, you know, that's all we contractually obligated sometimes to talk about the bad teams. We just gave y'all way too much Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars, and New York Jets. So I apologize in advance for all the listeners that's going to listen to that. But you know what? We have to point out things, and they made it interesting. And what made it interesting, the fact that, you know, now Jacksonville, I believe, has locked down that first overall pick spot and they'll probably go draft a pass rusher. And again, pass rushers in the game when they already had them. They had Yannick Ngakoue and they had Josh Allen. Before that, they had the other kid, Fowler. They listen, they know how to get defensive ends. They just don't know how to keep them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And nobody wants to be there, it seems like. So they got to change that narrative. That needs to be a destination instead of a place that you want to get, you don't want any part of. Now, how about the Chiefs, man? The Chiefs, Bart, are on an 8-game win streak here. When all of us were there, will they make the playoffs? They're on an 8-game win streak.
That's record.
Defense is balling right now.
But are you buying him? Are you buying him, Rex? Because, listen, if it wasn't for the dumb decisions last week by the Chargers, that was a real football team that they could have easily lost to, right? And that defense didn't look so stellar then. I know no Chris Jones was there. But I don't know. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to buy stock in the Kansas City Chiefs like I was ready to buy – like I'm ready to buy stock in Green Bay, like I'm ready to buy stock in Tampa Bay. Hell, like I'm ready to buy stock. I feel more confident. I have a confidence level in the Chiefs, the same confidence level that I have in the Dallas Cowboys right now. It's shaky. It's 50-50. It's not 60-40. It's 50-50 because I think that they're a bit of a fraud, but it's about who they're playing right now. I mean, right. Come on. We know that the Steelers have no business being on the field with anybody. They're not a real legitimate team. They're just a team like the Ravens that have tremendous culture and pride, and they find ways to win games that you expect them to lose.
Yeah, and the Steelers are done. I mean, you're right, Bart. They're 32nd in the league in rushing average against them. Like, when the hell? That's not a damn Pittsburgh Steeler team. No Steeler team that we ever knew. And their offense is anemic, so give me a break. They're long gone. Good riddance. You know, we'll see you down the road, Big Ben. You know, he's had a great career and stuff, but it's come to an end. I mean, there's no way that team doesn't belong in the conversation anymore this season. And quite honestly, it's going to be tough for them. They're going to have to reload, get a different quarterback, and their defense has to come back. So to me, I think they're long gone. But how about go? I mean, what do you think, Bart? You think Pittsburgh, like that? I mean, they're done. I'm not overstating that, am I?
No, not at all. I mean, listen, it was a great run, right? It was a great era. The Ben Roethlisberger era is one of the most proudest in all of Pittsburgh Steeler history. You got the Steel Curtain era, and I think the Big Ben era is the golden age, is right there behind those four championships. What he was able to do for this organization, talk about Mike Tomlin never having a losing season, is because he could always count on Big Ben being there. Now, he may be hurt, but he'll come back from surgeries, broken noses, broken ribs. It didn't matter. So I think, you know, it should be a appreciation. And how ironic is it that his career is probably going to end with the team that gave him his first opportunity by us knocking Tommy Maddox out of the game. And by the end of that game, we was like, is Tommy okay? Because this kid was gave us a ride for our money. It's like you always say, don't hurt the bad players. You want to hit them, but you don't want to hurt them too bad. And at that point, we were checking on Tommy Maddox. Hey, is Tommy coming back in? Like, hey, you know, this kid's giving us problems, you know what I mean? Because he was a lot elusive, but he was a guy that, you know, I thought was box office, man. He didn't have the flashy numbers or some of the crazy skill set that, you know, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning had. But what he did is he had consistency, and he was the right quarterback for them. So I think it's fitting that he's going to go out going against, you know, the Cleveland Browns week 17 and going to go against, you know, the Baltimore Ravens week 18. I think it's a fitting end to a Hall of Fame career. And I do believe that out of all three of those quarterbacks from those draft class, if I had to pick one, knowing what I know, I'm going Big Ben Roethlisberger before I go Eli Manning, before I go Phillip Rivers. I think he was the best of a Hall of Fame class that's going to put three guys in the canton. I think he was the best.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I think Culpepper might have been in that class too, but you're absolutely right, Bart. I mean, Big Ben is the best in that class, and he is a surefire Hall of Fame player. And, you know, hey, he can't play the game forever, but, man, we certainly had our moments against him, and nothing but respect for Big Ben.
I tell you what, man, real quick, let's talk about these Christmas games. And listen, Jonathan Taylor, amazing, right? I understand. Listen, you're missing four of the best linemen in the NFL. And listen, the first round, I know that the Cardinals feel good. They're pounding their chest. I always laugh when these dudes pound their chest. And you're like, look, dude, we're missing four of our starting offensive linemen, and we still got 100 on you. But you might want to pump your brakes a little bit, man. But you talk about what he was able to do. But I tell you what, man, I am afraid every time Carson Wentz drops back and throws the football, man. Like, he's the only thing holding him back. Listen, if I had Jacoby Brissett still on the roster, I would feel comfortable starting Jacoby Brissett and think that they had a better chance of winning games. He's frightening. He's frightening. Either he can win you a game. He can, man, I don't know what you feel about him, Rex, but he scares me to death.
I think Indianapolis is the scariest team out there. I really do, because the way they can run the football and they create turnovers on defense, except that other thing about Carson Wentz. Look, the guy's got, he can make great throws or he can do the bonehead mistake. And that's what you don't trust about this football team. But everything else about this team, I'm all in on them. I think nobody is going to want to play this team in the playoffs. And unfortunately for the rest of the league, they're going to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. You talk about 9-6. I mean, they're solidified in that fifth spot. And who knows how the Titans end up, you know, going out. Maybe they can mess around and sneak in and win this division with two games coming down. You know, and also, you know, the Browns browned again. The Browns lost Baker Mayfield. He was in there for a second, but, you know, you talk about four interceptions. How do you go forward? It's one thing Lamar Jackson, we talk about, do you pay Lamar Jackson? It's because of his health. It's not about his skill set. But looking at Baker Mayfield, you talk about four interceptions, man. I don't care about the harness on his arm. It's a non-throwing shoulder. But this guy, I know you can't blame every interception on him. It was some miscommunications. Yeah. But this dude comes up small when you need him to come up big every single time.
Well, the way you judge quarterbacks is how they perform in the red zone and in the fourth quarter. And there he's one of the worst in the league, if not the worst starting quarterback in the National Football League. So there's no way they're committed to him next year. They pick up that last year option. It's a good move. You get him for $18 million, and we'll see how he plays next year. He'll be out of excuses by then. But this guy has to understand, you're a game manager first and foremost. If he would just be a game manager, this team would be in the heart and the thick of the playoffs. Instead, he's reckless with the football, and that's what got him beat again this game.
Tell you what, man. I mean, it's, you talk about a team that's the best roster in the league, I believe, yeah, top to bottom. But, you know, they don't have the one position that matters the most, and that's the quarterback position. Dolphins, Saints, who you got?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to take the Saints just because their defense. I know they got some – I mean, I don't have any idea. Some dude from Notre Dame quarterback. We all know how Notre Dame quarterbacks are, with the exception of Theismann in Montana. I'm sorry, but I'm going to take the Saints because I believe in their defense.
Well, Rex, no more Thursday night football. We get a nice little break. Sunday night football, Vikings, Packs, Green Bay can secure home field throughout. Aaron, R-E-L-A-X, relax.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it'll be good for the Packers. Clinch that home field advantage and then rest your players against Detroit so Detroit can get a win. That'd be great to close it out. But no, I think it's going to be interesting. The Vikings aren't going to go away without a fight. That team always, they match up well with the Packers.
Yeah.
So that won't be a cakewalk for Green Bay, in my opinion.
And the pillow fight of the night would be the Browns against the Steelers, but who cares? So I won't even ask you about that one. Well, I tell you what, my friend, it was a pleasure. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. And this is another episode of Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast each and every NFL Sunday weekend from now until Super Bowl, Super Sunday. You can also catch me weekdays from 12 to 3 Eastern on the Barton Hines Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can catch Rex Ryan every Sunday on NFL Countdown. And guess what? Monday morning on Get Up, as he's going to have to console Greeny again. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll see you the same time, same bat station, same bat time. We out. See you next time, big fella.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcast.